going to go through. And just one couple of points just to help you realize that, you know, when Jesus says that you're going to make it, you are going to make it.
That's right.
Amen. So we're just going to look at a couple of things. In the time that we're here, we're going to look at a covenant, communication, and commitment. So as we go through, and just like I said, we're not perfect, but we're still learning.
Yeah.
And it's kind of exciting that after 25 years, we're still learning.
Yep.
And as the word, it's always alive. So,
amen.
One of the things we got to realize is that marriage is a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like, you know, in the olden days when, you know, you'd cut your stuff like that, but it is a covenant. And we were looking at the fact that a covenant means to cut, and where the blood flows. And, you know, we were talking, I think it was yesterday, when we said about, you know, they would cut a covenant and shake hands or different aspects. But as a marriage, as two people, the Bible says that the life is in the blood.
Mm-hmm.
So when we cut a covenant with each other, it's my life is your life,
mm-hmm.
and your life is my life. Good, bad, or indifferent,
right.
Everything.
That's right.
Everything I had before comes into your life, and everything that you have comes into my life. And even that in itself can be challenging.
Yeah.
Because my upbringing with parents is totally different than your upbringing.
That's right.
You had a different picture of marriage
mm-hmm.
than I did,
mm-hmm.
you know. And we've learned, right? So we're going to look at that there's four reasons to cut a covenant. There was protection, business, marriage, and friendship. And one of the things about a covenant is that it's unbreakable. It's supposed to be unbreakable, never-ending. And I remember when we got married, we decided that divorce was not an option. That
That's
we thought
right.
we are going to go through.
That's right.
All things. A divorce is not an option. And our first year was
testing.
Not very nice. It was
yeah.
challenging. It was
yeah,
very
it
challenging.
Was, yeah.
We had both been married before, and so we had to learn that we were in two different boats than we used to be, in a sense. So, but we're going to look at, you know, that it's not an option, and that we got through that.
That's right.
And
praise the Lord.
We continue to get through. So there's an exchange when you look at covenant. We're not going to go into a great deal, so we get some other stuff. But there's exchange of a coat, and it's like even like a like as a believer, that you have the robe of righteousness, but the coat is a representation of myself.
Yep.
There's an exchange. I give you me, and you give me you.
That's right.
And if we, when we were in the car talking about this, it was that song, right? All of me. But I'm not going to sing it. So,
thank God.
But I love all of you. Then there's killing of an animal, which is a dying to self. And that's the biggest thing with marriage, I
mm-hmm.
think, is sometimes you have to realize that you have to die to self. My needs are not important in a sense. Well, they are important.
Yeah.
But I die to my wants and stuff in some ways to realize not just what's better for me or what's better for you, but what is better for us.
That's right.
As a covenant.
Can I interject something?
Yes.
A lot of people think that the opposite to love is hate, but it is not. The opposite to love is selfishness. And when we are selfish, we are self-seeking. We are. We only want to fulfill our own needs. So that is a danger in a marriage, because you will never be one if you are only thinking of yourself, and your motives are selfish. So the opposite to love is selfishness, and the opposite to selfishness is love.
That's very good.
Praise the Lord.
That's good. There's also the exchange of weapons, which we don't have weapons, but, you know. But it's
not
a
physical.
Pledge to protect, right?
Yes,
protect.
That's right.
And you think that it's about protecting, like in, you know, like the old days, and you know, where the men went out to hunt and to protect and to fight. But it's not that. It's just that as a husband, you're there, or as a spouse, you're there to protect each other. You know, you're there that... You know, and I've shared before, and I've shared with some of the young guys that, you know, not like I say that I'm perfect, but I know at work, you know, I've had somebody ask me why they don't hear me complain about my wife, they don't hear me talk about you in that way. And I said to somebody, I said, why would I curse something that God's blessed me with?
Yeah. That's right.
You know, protection means I don't sit there and tell people, if we've got an argument, that's between you and me.
That's right.
It's not about going to work and telling the guys at work, well, this, that, and the other thing. You know what she did? She didn't make my potatoes right or whatever, you know? Because sometimes it's little things that, you know, ruin things.
That's right.
So there's also the voice of conditions in front of witnesses. And that's the marriage vows.
Yeah.
You know, you have that. And that's the same thing.
And living them out.
And living them out.
Walking them out.
Walking them out.
Yeah.
But it's the same thing, even if, like I said, like you, when you prayed, if you're single, you have covenant vows.
Amen.
And the Bible, you know, says to speak out about those things, so that even as a believer, you're in covenant with God, and you can speak out those things. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "By His stripes I am healed."
Yeah.
You know, that's all aspects of the covenant.
Right.
There's also the memorial meal, which is the wedding meal, or as a believer, it's communion. But even with us, it's important. I like it when we have our meal, because we've gotten into the habit sometimes of sitting in front of the TV and you're eating your lunch there or whatever, you know. But getting down to sitting down and putting the phones, when we sit at the table, the phones are not there.
And we fellowship.
Talk, and we have a meal.
Yeah.
You and me, or when the kids are over and stuff. And the kids know that. No phones at the table, that's our time, and stuff like that. And then the last one we're just going to look at quick is that you create a physical memorial, which was they would plant a tree or they would do something. And I like what you said before this. You said that they...
It would be good to have your wedding photo album handy, because there are times when, especially if you're having a low time or whatever, and you're just reminiscing, and it's really refreshing for me, and I'm sure a lot of other people would feel the same way, to go back and look through your wedding pictures, because you relive the commitment that you made to each other. You relive how much you were so in love and still are, but it just refreshes it for you. So really, I think it's refreshing if you can do that. Just go back in time and remember your vows together and why you married, why you fell in love with this man, and why you're still, because he has not changed. I mean, he might have, like, the love between you hasn't changed. You've grown. So, and that's something that
I have changed.
You have changed, yeah.
I have changed.
A little bit, yep.
So in Genesis 2:18,
I will read that? Yes. And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him."
Now, you know, and that's, like I said, if you're not married, that's okay. This is not that you have to get married, because this is being alone here is different than being lonely, because Adam was not lonely.
That's right.
Because he had God. He fellowshiped with God, which was first and foremost. But the thing was that they were supposed to go forth and multiply. That was part of what God told them to do. Go to Genesis 2:24 for a second.
Genesis 2:24. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother, and he joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh.
One flesh.
I like that.
I also like the fact that it says that you shall leave your mother and father and be joined.
Yes.
You know, when you, being an only child, my mother was very loving, but when we got married, I had to make sure that I left her, in a sense. Not that I didn't go over and visit, whatever, but I can't bring that into my marriage. You can't bring your, you know what I mean? You can't bring it in the sense that...
Your mom has it over you.
Yes. Because I've seen that. And I, you know, been there where, you know, well, he likes his, you know, potatoes this way. Well, mom, she's making them this way. And I like that way too. You know, or... You know, you come in and if you have a house, because I know I had the house before we got married, and it's okay that, you know, if my mom helped me pick out the room and it was, say, beige, and then we got married, so Kathy comes in and says, well, I want it orange. If mom shows up and says, well, I like the beige better, it's like, it's okay, mom. I had to leave my mother and father and cleave and become one with her. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's okay to go to your parents for advice. But you have to leave that.
Amen.
And take that, what the word says.
That's right.
Now, the oneness is so close. There's Deuteronomy 6:4.
Oh, sorry. But Deuteronomy 6:4 says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one."
That word one is the same word from Genesis 2:24. The unity between the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, that oneness is what we are supposed to have.
That's right.
You had said about the threefold cord.
Yes.
Right, that we're entwined together, that we're that oneness is there.
God, you and me.
You and me and God, that there's three of us. You know, so if I don't like what you say, I have to like what the Word says. You know, if I'm making a decision, you know what I mean?
Ah, yes.
Not in a negative way, but... So, but there's that oneness that we are to have, and then we're going to look at some of that as we go.
Mm-hmm.
But the unity encompasses all aspects of our life,
not just
the physical, or the emotional, or the social, or the intellectual and spiritual. But we're to be one.
That's right.
You know, and it's like not that, you know, we are joined at the hip per se, and we don't do everything. We have our alone time. We have our quiet time.
Of course.
We have our. I know that. I remember there about a year ago or so, before all this happened, that I think it was your daughter, somebody invited you out, and you weren't sure if you wanted to go. And I remember saying to you, you need to go, because I don't get my house to myself. So I was like, honey, you need to go for a couple hours so I can have the house to myself. But it doesn't mean that I'm mad at you or I don't want you around, but you have your time. Even Jesus had his 12, he had his 3, but he had his time alone.
That's right.
I think that's one of your points later about your time alone.
Mm-hmm.
Did you want to read the Ecclesiastes?
Sorry? Oh, yes, okay. Ecclesiastes 10 to 12.
3, 10 to 12.
Sorry. Oh, 3, sorry. Kendra, Ecclesiastes 3, 10 to 12. Two are better than one, because they have good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be empowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken.
You know, I like when you said about the overpowered. Because I think you'll find most married couples that, you know, being Christian, you realize that there are times when I go through a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the fact that I know that you're there, you're lifting me up,
yeah.
You're praying for me,
yeah.
You know, and vice versa. There's a time when, I know a few years ago, you were going through something, and I remember saying to you, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how to deal with that,
mm-hmm.
But I can pray for you.
Amen.
I can agree with you. I can support you.
Yeah,
we have our devotions together.
Yep.
Together.
Yep. Just be there.
Just be there.
Mm-hmm.
But be there with the word and not, you know, necessarily information from the latest magazine.
That's
not
right.
Information from, because the third part of this is a threefold cord. Is, you know, God's in our relationship.
That's right.
And
He's
to me,
center.
It's like that is a huge thing, because when I don't know how to minister to you. Or when you don't know how to minister to me.
He leads us.
He leads us to minister with each other.
That's right.
And that's important. And that's part of the fact that we will get through.
Amen. It's guaranteed.
We will get to the other
side.
Like
he said in the boat, let us go to the other side.
Yes. And he was there.
And his word is true. He watches over his word to perform it. So
that's
when
right.
We say divorce is not an option, or we are getting through this, He lives within us. So when we speak according to his will, it's as good as Jesus speaking.
That's right.
So believe. When you speak God's word, believe it.
That's right.
And it will come to pass.
Now, you know, we hear about the fact that the word says that as two are one, that we're one flesh. And oneness begins on the wedding night. It's not just that night. You become one flesh. You're walking in oneness that develops over time. It's a process.
Yes.
Intimacy between a couple happens day after day, month after month. The word says naked, not ashamed. It says in Genesis, when they met, they were naked, not ashamed. But it means that not just to be without clothes. It means I can be fully me in my struggles, my problems, my indifference, my problems at work. That I can come to you and not be ashamed, Because I know that you, because of our oneness, you're not going to go tell your mom. You're not going to go tell your sister. You're not.
You can trust me.
I can trust you.
To keep you safe.
Yes.
And not blab stuff.
That's right. Husbands and wives, they says they need to have freedom and security in the relationship. We need to have, if I feel I can't trust you,
yep.
That means
we're done.
We're done. And it doesn't mean, I think it was T.D. Jakes that said, for a woman, a husband means infidelity. But for man, trusting his wife means that you're not going to go blab.
That's right.
And you're not going to go tell everybody that I don't have to be concerned that we have even an argument or a discussion. Because we do have those once in a while.
Of course. Every couple
does.
Because we're not the same.
But it doesn't mean that after that, you know, I see your mom a week later or your sister and they're looking at me like, you know?
Yeah.
And there's actually a comfort and strength in that.
Yes, there is.
You know, there really is. Mm-hmm. Knowing that I can go to you and not be ashamed or concerned about weaknesses or struggles whatever we have.
And, you know, I think for us, we really notice it because we have both been in previous marriages that were not trustworthy, that we couldn't trust our partner. So now that, you know, we're born again Christians and we put God first in our marriage and we bring everything to God that's in our marriage. So when we do go to each other, we really know what it means to feel safe and secure when we're sharing, you know, things with each other. So really, I mean, that's really one of the big things that stands out in our marriage compared to, you know, our past relationships.
Yes. And I think, you know, I was thinking about the oneness, you know, because marriage can be physical. And, you know, I'll tell you, men, when your spouse trusts you and believes in you and you're loving her stuff, you know, that emotional oneness, that spiritual oneness, that will overflow to a physical oneness. Just get real.
That's right.
There's one of the reasons for marriage.
That's right.
You know, it's kind of neat the fact that you can't be divided throughout the day arguing and bickering and putting each other down, then go to bed and say, hey, baby, not going to happen.
No. Nope.
You know, that oneness has to be in all aspects, you know. And the thing is, if I can't be open and one with you, then we need to find out what the problem is.
That's right. And I've heard someone say, I don't know who it was, but they say, could be T.D. Jakes or one of those guys. Anyway, they say, you need to be making love all day long.
Oh, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Making love starts in the morning.
Yes.
And goes through the day.
Yes.
Through the night.
That's true. Because it does overflow in all aspects,
that's
you know.
Right.
And the next thing is to communicate. So we have the covenant. We have whatever I have comes in with you.
Yep.
Whatever you have comes in with me. Mm-hmm. Whatever we have goes to the third cord.
That's right.
Whatever he have also comes in with us.
Yes.
And that's the strength of it all.
The beauty of it.
But then there's also communicate.
Right.
And you know, it's like we have these, but we also, I know in the word shop, not to just open it up, but we have, you know, Mac and Lynn Hammond have keys to compatibility and heirs together. And it is. I know Pastor, when he does pre-marriage, here, Pastor Roma has his people touch these or get these and go through them. And, you know, it takes work, you know.
Yep.
People that say, well, you know, it's like healing. If you're believing for healing, read a scripture, read a book, read something. If not, that's not going to work. So marriage takes work. A lot of times people, you know, guys I know, they'll read the hunting magazine or the fishing magazine or the car magazine or the woodworking magazine. And they're having problems at home, and I'll say, well, have you read? Well, I haven't got time for that. Mm-hmm. Well, what's important?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And these, I know one's 11 and one's 10.
Dollars. Yep.
Pesos, no. And, but I know that if you want to get these, I think Miss Nita can give you a good deal on those. But they're good books. They talk about compatibility and stuff like that and different aspects. But it goes to, we're going to look at, communicate.
Yes.
The initial emotion that can arise from the action of our partner maybe involuntary or reflexive. Mm-hmm. This is how we verbalize our decision.
That's right.
In the sense that, like our first year was a bit rough, and because of coming out of things. Mm-hmm. So when she said something I wasn't sure about, I was reflexive. I was instinct. Boom! My back went up, you know, your hair go up, and it takes a while just to, you know.
Something that was familiar from your other marriage.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were talking about, it's like a signpost. I realized how the Lord dealt with me is, it'd be coming home, and it wasn't necessarily like a bad thing. Like I said, sometimes it's little things. Like you come home and she wouldn't be there because you might have been late or whatever, and your first instinct was, oh, this is what happened last time this happened, or that last time, you know, this happened, or the marriage broke up, or this happened, or that happened. And I had to realize, you know, the Lord spoke to me and said, the signposts might be the same, but the destination is different.
Yeah.
And that's how he spoke to me, because the road is different, the destination is different, you know, and you got to realize too, you know, as it's like even in physical things, because I know one of the things one of the things, like when we first met, because of your past, I remember you had something on your face.
Oh, yes.
And I reached over to brush it off, and she flinched because of her past. It was an instinct. She flinched because I got close. And I was so upset because I remember thinking, I'm not that man. But it was an instinct. And it was like, you know, and it bothered me that was there. That's what came out. Not now, you know. But it takes a while to renew your mind that if you've been out of a path, whether it be a past marriage, a long-term relationship, whether you have to realize that when you come together and you're coming into a new relationship and a new marriage, it's like a new job. You have to relearn things.
And leave the luggage behind. Don't bring in your luggage.
That's right. Get fresh luggage.
Start some new stuff.
Yeah, get some fresh luggage. Go buy some new suitcases.
That's right.
Yeah, that's good. For your 1 Corinthians
8. 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, love edifies. Kendra, this is in the NASB. Love edifies. The word edifies means to build up. The noun form of our word edifice, or building. Therefore, to live my mate means to build up. Therefore, to love. Oh, you have live.
I corrected that
on yours. Sorry. Therefore, to love my mate means to build up my mate. One of the most powerful means of edification is the compliment.
Yeah, that was my notes.
Oh, okay. I was wondering, that doesn't sound like scripture.
Well, 1 Corinthians 8:1, the last part says, knowledge puffeth up, but love or charity edifies.
Okay.
And that was King James.
Right.
So that word edifies means to build up. And so it's that love builds up.
That's right.
So if you want to build each other up in your communication, you have to learn how to speak kind words, how to speak loving words, how to build up and edify, you know, because it's very easy to tear down, very, very easy to tear down, even without thinking about it, you know. So it's like the example I have is that I might say great things to others about you, but I have to make sure I use those words to you.
That's right.
You know, you make sure you tell your spouse that you love them. Tell your spouse that, you know, I don't know if it's simple, that, you know, that they're a good cook or whatever they do, you know, if they like something, you know, like, oh, you look nice this morning. Oh, you know, you got to make sure you tell and compliment each
other. Encourage each
other,
yeah.
So even if I'm mad and I start tearing you down, it grieves the Holy Spirit as well.
It does.
And so we have to learn to edify and to build up. We have to learn how to communicate properly.
In love.
In love.
Everything has to come through love.
Yes.
Right?
And what did you say the other day? You said communication is not just words.
No.
It's how you respond. It's your physical, how you react.
It's your actions. It's
rolling
how you,
your eyes. Yeah. I love you.
It's even looking. It's even a look.
Yeah. Yes.
It's a touch.
Yes.
Yeah.
Another way is to speak with kindness.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians 13:4 says love is kind. So even when you're arguing, we got to make sure that we don't tear each other down.
And kindness means, I mean, there's you know, speaking in love, but kindness is different than love, because kindness is words of lifting up. It's like words of encouragement, like, and especially if, you know, to me, a good way of describing how you could be kind to somebody is, and it doesn't have to be a husband-wife, it could be when you see somebody who's being mistreated or, you know, having a down day, just a kind word will lift that person up.
Yep. And a smile.
A kind word, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I like, we talked about this the other day, about speaking with love also means we stay current.
That's right.
Present tense. Because love does not keep score of wrongdoings. Mm-hmm. So if we get into an argument, I don't sit there and say, well, you've done this for 5 years.
Yeah.
Remember what happened last May.
Yeah.
Right? That's done. If we've asked each other for forgiveness, yeah, it's on the calendar. If we've asked each other for forgiveness, then we don't bring it up again. It's done.
It's done. It's in the past.
Just
like our sins are in the past.
That's right.
Not to be remembered.
That's right. That's right. So if God doesn't remember it and bring it up, I should remember it and bring it up. I don't remember and bring up mine. I should remember and bring up yours. You know, but it's true. How many times? Because I used to do that.
Plenty. That 1 year is...
So you're bringing it up. No, I'm kidding.
You have. You open the door.
But it is. You gotta let that stay in the past. Paul says, I put the past behind
me. Well, if you have forgiven it, truly forgiven it, you won't even bring it up.
That's right.
Right?
Yes, that's true. I'm not going to read all, but just Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth.
That's right.
And we think about that. You think about that when you're talking about stuff. But it's true. When you're talking with your spouse, don't let it corrupt. Don't let it affect the marriage. Don't let it affect the relationship. Don't let it
What's
affect...
What's an example?
Well, we were watching when a couple with kids argue.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, we didn't have kids, but if we had a child and I'm... telling the child about, well, your mom does this, and your mom does that, and your mom does this. It affects the child because they subconsciously pick up that you do not like or you're mad at half of them because they know that you're part of you. So it's, you know, and I know that with this, like with us coming into the relationship, coming into our marriage, we had kids from previous marriages, but we never... talked about our other spouses or ex-spouses bad in front of the kids.
We didn't speak bad about them, not in front of the kids. Speak bad about them, period. We, even to ourselves, we always honored them as being the father of my children, the mother of yours.
Yes. Yes, and you know, that could be hard.
I don't think.
Well, it wasn't
not for me.
I've seen it with people that's hard.
It can be hard for some people, yes.
You know, and you got to realize that when you come into something, you have to be able to put the past behind you, and even past in that communication. And when we're going through, I know that years ago was after we got married, a few years after we got married. It was before we moved here. I got laid off from work.
Yep.
You were not at work. And so we spent a year at home doing renovations.
Yeah.
And they say that can be one of the most trying times for a couple is renovating the house. And it was
the best.
Actually, we had fun. We had fun.
Yep.
We kept going. It was a good time, you know. It was nice making decisions. We got to know each other.
Yep.
Really.
We were united.
Yeah.
We got to know each other. We got to spend a lot of time together, and we loved through it. We were excited about the project.
Yes, it's like you know. But we also have our own things, where you know I don't fish, and you go fishing with your boy.
City boy, country girl.
You know, but it's like you know, it's funny because last year was it last year? You said to me, we were out just driving around, and you said, you know, I haven't gone cross-country skiing since we've been married. And I was like, I am, okay, but I'm thinking, but I've never stopped you.
No, I know.
But you communicated that, so now it's like, okay, you know, if you want to go skiing, baby, mm-hmm. you know, call your sister when all this is over and go skiing. You know, it's like we communicate and we're very open where you watch, if you want to watch sports.
Curling.
I don't watch sports, but you communicate. It seems like trivial things, but if I can't communicate to you or you can't communicate to me, well, what's on television, how can we talk about deeper things mm-hmm. in life? Mm-hmm. If I'm afraid to say to you, I don't like the way you make potatoes, mm-hmm. right? It seems like a strange thing.
Potatoes today.
Well, yeah. But if I can't say to you, I don't like the way you make potatoes, then how can I come to you and say, I'm having a problem believing for a healing in my foot?
You're right.
Right?
Yeah.
If I can't talk to you about
simple things,
mm-hmm. how can I come to you and say, you know, I think one of the kids is having a problem about something that we need to pray about or we need to agree on. And that's it. It's like you're going through a storm and you're stressed, and this time where you're stuck in your house and there's this lockdown and you can't, you know, we have to be able to go to each other, you know, and be fresh with each other.
Yeah.
You know, not me in my room and you're in your room, but we have to be able to be fresh. You have to be able to be fresh with each other and learn how to communicate. Mm-hmm. And that's actually exciting when you learn how to communicate properly and not fly off the handle.
You get a lot done, and it causes a harmony in the family, in the house. People, when they walk into your home, they can sense the peace that's in there. And we've been told by people who come into the house, it's like, wow, yeah, just your house just seems so peaceful. And it's because we don't have strife. You know, I mean, we do have disagreements. We do have things that we don't agree on. But we do not let it turn into strife.
Yeah. I remember when we got married, one of the questions our pastor asked us at the time was, how much money are you willing to spend without having to ask each other?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And back at that time, so that's 25 years ago, mm-hmm. and I love music. I enjoy music. And we had the Upper Room bookstore was there. They had all this Christian music.
CDs.
So I used to be able to say, I said, okay, $15, because that way I could go buy a CD without having to ask you, you know? And it was like, it seems like a strange thing.
Yeah.
But I remember we've known couples where the guy went out and bought a car and didn't tell his wife.
Oh, yes.
What would happen if I showed up? Hey, baby, look what I have, you know? Now, that amount might change for different people. It's based
and
on...
And it has for us.
And it has for
us. Oh, it's gone up a long way. Well, it's gone up a bit.
but I love, like, we're going to get it. We've got a couple of things about how to communicate.
Okay.
But I love the fact that it all ties together. Because we're in covenant.
Yep.
And we have the same mindset.
Yep.
That our communication helps. And like you say, there's some things that change where one of the things about sowing and about reaping, mm-hmm. and about giving. Mm-hmm. We don't argue when it comes to money that way.
Not at all.
We don't argue when it's about, well, you want to sow this much, we want to do this much,
yep.
we want to do that. We don't. You know, the word says not to be unequally yoked.
That's
in
right.
Corinthians. It means unequally mindset. Not to be, you have to be learned, you have to be trained the same. I love the fact that we met at the same church. Mm-hmm. And I know a couple here that have met at the same church, mm-hmm. so they have the same mm-hmm. mindset. Mm-hmm. Now, and it's not just, well, okay, well, I'm saved and he's saved. No, it's got to be more.
Yep.
Do you tithe? Mm-hmm. Do I tithe?
Equally yoked, it's called.
Equally yoked.
That's right.
Right? It's not about born again.
No.
Do you speak in tongues? Mm-hmm. Do I speak in tongues? Mm-hmm. Are you willing to give? Mm-hmm. Am I willing to give?
Yeah.
Are you okay for praying? I'm okay for praying. It's
yep.
as believers, and that's the thing, as believers, we have to have the same mindset. So you need to learn how to communicate before you get married. If I can't talk to you about money when we're married, not about how much I'm making, but we knew that we both tithe when we met.
Yeah.
We knew we were both givers. We talked about
yeah.
that. When we get close to the marriage date, you know, the wedding date, we understood that we were givers.
Yeah.
You know, giving can help you realize what your mate's like. Because if I'm a tither and you're not...
Money is a test, I think.
It is a test. It is. And that they say
that's
about marriages is money
biggest.
And communication.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And that's the thing, is I didn't need to know how much you made. I didn't mm-hmm. need to know how much, you know. But we also talked about debt when we got married.
Yeah.
Because we both had lots of it.
Yeah. No. Yes, we had debt.
We both had debt, which, you know, but we were able to, because we communicated and we understood each other, we were able to talk about that and to have a
and
ma-
the
to
Lord
make a
helped
budget.
Us how to, yes. Yep, the Lord helped us with that because
he did help
we
us
came
with that.
Together on that.
So we were able
like
to come
that,
together
that,
about
the debt didn't and our money didn't separate us.
No.
A lot of people have their own accounts. You know, I pay this bill, you pay that bill, I buy this, you buy that. Never
we were
it was
one.
never that way with us.
No, we
except
were one.
Except for that one account that you hit on me.
for that extra money. No. So, but it is the fact that you need to learn how to communicate even before you get married.
Yes.
So if you're in a relationship and you need to learn how to communicate before you get married.
That's what one flesh is. It's not just bodily. It's mind,
everything.
Spirit.
Yeah. Yep. Yes. So we got a couple of things just to jot down about how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to learn how to communicate with God.
Mm-hmm.
There's a prayer agreement. Praise and worship.
Yeah.
Our daily devotion. And then daily personal prayer that we pray together.
But
I have my time and you have your time.
Yeah.
You know, and we have to learn how to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just going to list, there's five love languages, which is a book. I know we have one here from Gary Smalley that we've done a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because he talks about the different love languages where if I don't know how to communicate with you properly.
If you don't know my love language.
Yes.
Yeah,
because I'll list them. One is gifts, one is words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, and acts of service.
Yeah.
So if my love language is words of affirmation, meaning that, you know, when you come up to me and you say, "Hey, honey, you did a good job about that," that lifts me up.
Yeah.
Ooh, she's speaking my love language, right? And if Kathy's word, if yours is like quality time.
Mm-hmm.
So mine's words of affirmation. So I'm telling you, you're doing a great job. You know, everything was good, and I'm lifting you up. But I'm not spending time with you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not speaking your love language.
That's right.
So your thought is, oh, he doesn't love me. He doesn't love me fully because your love language is different. So you got to learn how to express that. Also, one of the ways to communicate with each other is words of support.
Yeah.
Right? You lift each other up. And not just to each other, but about each other. Encouragement.
Mm-hmm. Encouraging each other.
And I noticed
having
you put...
Fun. Foolishness.
Having fun.
Foolishness. Being foolish, like David. When he danced before the Lord.
Yes. Yeah, being yourself and just having fun. Yeah. Dancing in the kitchen.
That's right. I do it all the time.
Yes, I have a video. No. Praise and then support.
Yeah.
So you have to learn how to communicate with each other. You have to learn how to communicate with the Lord. You have to learn how to communicate as a couple with the Lord. You got to do what works for you. If you find that you pray better after supper, then do your devotions then. Or if you find that you pray together better before you go to bed,
mm-hmm.
then do it then.
Yep.
Find what works for you, right? Because what works for us might not work for you.
That's right.
Or the timing or whatever. So
yeah.
I'm not going to read that because, you know.
We're running out of time.
We're running out of time. And also, so we have it's a covenant between us. It's we're there. We got to learn how to communicate. And also, there's a commitment.
Yeah.
As a husband, we have to learn how to. Well, I have to learn how to commit to going before God every day and asking, Father, what do you require of me as a husband? We have to learn that.
Mm-hmm.
It's like being a parent. You have to learn how to be a parent.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to learn how to be a husband. You have to learn how to be a wife. And it's not just about one scripture that says, you know. Submit and love. It's not about that. It's about learning how to do things better, how to find out. Because I like what John Bevere says. He was talking about him and Lisa, and the Lord spoke to him and said, Lisa's not just your wife. Lisa is my daughter. And it's like, you are a king's kid.
Yep.
And I have to learn how to respect the not just you, but also the anointing that's within you
mm-hmm.
and lift you up.
That's good.
You know, and
yeah.
understand that. We have to learn how to, I'm just going to go down to here, hon.
Sure.
We have to learn how to be committed to each other
mm-hmm.
before anyone else. We have decided that
That's
divorce
right.
is not an option.
Mm-hmm.
When the storm comes and we are in the boat, we have three choices. If you and me are in the boat, we have three choices.
Mm-hmm.
When the storm comes, we can either jump, we can push each other out, or we can just rest with Jesus and stay in
That's
the boat,
right.
realizing we're going to get to the other side. And
push
that's the thing, right? And because divorce is not an option, we're stuck in the boat.
We are stuck in the boat.
But you know, but I love the fact
that... You know
that
what? I like that because...
He's in the boat.
Well, he's in the boat.
And he's already showed us with that scripture of what to do. He spoke to the storm.
Yeah.
So when you pray and you pray with each other, you're speaking to the storm.
That's right.
If you're not
That's
sure
it.
About something, speak to the storm. Find out what the word says. If you're going through physical things, if you're going through a problem with your kids, what does the word say, you know?
Yep. So instead of saying, you know, Jesus, would you take care of this storm? We're in the boat. Jesus, take care of this storm. We say, storm, leave. We speak Jesus' word together.
Yes.
And two together is like two speaking God's word is agreement. And what happens when we're in agreement in God's word?
It's a done thing.
It is done. It is
That's
done.
Right.
It might take standing in faith because a lot of stuff doesn't happen automatically, but you stand in faith, you spoke that word, you spoke that end result, you speak that which was not as though it were, believing
yep.
that what you said, God performs, God watches over his word, and it shall be done.
That's right. So even when you're stressful and you're feeling maybe, you know, uneasy or whatever, you need
yeah.
to find out what the word says and stand in agreement. And I love the fact that I think we talked about it earlier, before we got here, we catch each other. And that's what's nice about being like-minded.
That's right.
Is if it's like, I, you know, if I'm having a pain in my foot, I say, oh, that hurts. You'll correct me,
mm-hmm.
right? In love. And it's like, what does the word say?
Stop speaking your pain out.
Stop speaking your pain out. You know, and then it's also a matter of saying, okay, what can I do to help you with whatever, whether it be a stressful situation,
mm-hmm.
whether it be the kids acting up, whatever it is. So it's no good if one of us is saying, well, the sky is blue, and the other one's saying the sky is orange. We have to come to agreement, right? But we also have to realize that we're committed, that no matter how many clouds are in the sky, we're committed.
That's
we're
right.
in this together,
yep.
and you got to realize that you'll get through.
No choice.
We need to do what God has called us to do. You know, the word says about, you know, couples with loving and committing. And so it's not about if you love me, then I'll submit, or mm-hmm. if you submit, then I'll love you. It's a fact that we have to focus, what's my responsibility and what's your responsibility?
And it's because we love God. It's because I love God that I submit to you.
Yes. Oh, that's nice.
Thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
But it's
if
also,
I didn't love him, if he wasn't first in my life, I wouldn't submit to anyone, really, because I'm a strong person, and I got to fight my wanting to be in control, wanting to. I love order, and there are times when I might think that what he wants to do isn't really organized and stuff like that. So I sometimes like try to help him out a little bit. And that's not submitting. I mean, it might seem like a simple thing, but if I do that day in and day out, it eventually will squash him because I'm not allowing him to lead. And a man, as the head of the house, God has appointed him. He's anointed the man to lead the household. So if I continually correct you know, how he's doing something, I don't like the way he's doing it, day after day, that will squash him. So that's something that, personally, that I need to keep in check.
I didn't think we were going down that road.
That's exciting. That happens.
I got to keep a copy of this. But it's also, it's like, you know, where the word says that the husband, you got to learn how to love your wife. You know, as Christ loved the church. I love the fact we think, oh, that's easy, you know, but it's not, because love... As Christ loved the church, it's crucifixion. So are you willing, am I willing to die to myself in order to love you, to encourage you, to mm-hmm. build you up,
mm-hmm.
to lift you up? And we got to realize that, you know, Lord speaks to us about certain things.
Yeah.
And so that our commitment, though, is that no matter what, we don't submit to what other people say. We don't submit to what our parents say. We don't submit to outside influences. We are committed to each other and to what the word says,
mm-hmm.
right? When, you know, like I said, like with our covenant, it's about you and me. It's not about what the guys at work say or the ladies at the shopping market, superstore, whatever. You know, It's about what the commitment is about you and me. It's a commitment that we've decided.
That we've made.
Because it's easy to get into an argument and have somebody say, well, you know, somebody you work with say, well, if I was your husband, I wouldn't treat you that way, you know. And the thing is, it's like, but the commitment is that's you and me, right?
That's right.
And speaking and communicating that properly.
Mm-hmm.
Devoted marriage partners maintain a consistent willingness to change for the benefit of the spouse.
Consistent.
Keyword. We're always changing.
Keyword, yep.
I like what you said about being organized. When we were dating, I remember you used to have those little duck canisters.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I'd pick her up. I remember picking you up for a date, and she'd have to run to the washroom to get her coat or her shoes, whatever. And I would go and turn the duck canisters, all the lids, because she's so organized.
So they didn't match up anymore.
And all of a sudden, if she caught it before we left, even if we were running late, she would have to go and fix the duck canisters. But she would get to my place, and my place was a mess. It was unorganized. It was just everything. So, but over the years, I realized you're more relaxed.
Yep.
But I've gotten more organized.
Yep.
So, you know, you will rub off on each other. You will start to pick up each other's traits. And after 25 years, we should have.
Yep. If you love each other, you will.
Because you'll start to change.
Yeah, because you're not struggling for, you know, the control.
Yeah.
You'll
put yourself aside.
You have that willingness to...
To change.
Yeah.
And become better. Because you make me better.
To relax in some areas and pick it up in other areas.
Because you make me better.
And you make me better.
I'm a better me. I'm going to cry. No, I'm a better me because of you.
Thank you.
So, I have to have the cares of how to please you. New Testament is about sowing and giving.
Mm-hmm.
So when we get married, it's not about ourselves. It's about sowing into your life. So when we can sow into each other's lives, we can sow. It's a matter of cultivating something that God's placed
within
you.
Us. That's
and
right.
You cultivating and helping to cultivate something that God's placed within me.
Right.
You
because
know, they
he's
say,
called us.
Yes.
He has put us together, and he has a purpose for us.
Yes.
Together.
Together. That's right. And, you know, we got to realize that we cultivate each other. I wish I knew what we knew now when we first got married.
Me too.
You know, and that's the big thing. If you, you know, but, you young couples that are out there.
But you have fun getting there.
You do have fun getting there. Because, you know, you get
that's
lots
how
of big
you grow.
Waves.
That's how you grow. That's how you learn. That's how you,
yep.
you learn things about yourself. You learn things about each other. And
yep.
you learn so how to tweak things and.
So when a storm comes,
you
we either let it tip us over.
Push that flesh down when it needs to be.
That's right. So when a storm comes, I was just thinking, you know, when a storm comes, so we can either let the wind toss us or get a surfboard and ride the wave.
Yeah, well, you know? It really doesn't benefit us. It wouldn't benefit us if we were already there right at the beginning because then there's nothing to learn.
The thing we're not perfect
and you don't grow and I mean it's I want to grow you want
yes.
it's something that you don't ever want to stop doing right
yes but it's like when you hear leadership people they say leaders always fill themselves or surround themselves with people that are strong in their weak areas and it's
yeah.
like marriage we fill ourselves with people with the spouse that's strong in weak areas it's like the organization you know like you're very administrative and stuff like that and so if I doing something, it's very good to have you there for that.
Mm-hmm.
So in conclusion,
mm-hmm.
We're just going to say that it's a covenant, and we got to realize that it's a covenant, it's enduring, this choice we made.
Right.
We've learned how to communicate, and we're still learning how to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
I like the fact that I've learned how to speak your love language, and how to, you know, there's a primary and like a secondary, but I've learned how to do that. I've also learned how to be to speak to you unashamedly within
yeah.
my weakness mm-hmm. as well as in your weakness. You've learned how to speak to me.
Yeah.
And that we are committed no matter what. We're committed no matter what. You know, we've gone through, you know, loss in family, deaths in the family. We've
yeah.
gone through job losses. We've
yeah.
gone through moving through across the country.
Yeah.
We've gone through, you know, God told us to come here with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Came here, moved here, no job, nothing.
Yep.
But we knew that we were committed to the vision God gave us. And because we were strong with each other and strong in him,
mm-hmm.
we've prospered quite
we
well
sure
here.
We sure have.
Because we've done what God's called us to do.
Yeah.
So great marriages are built by givers.
Yeah.
It's a fact that we give. And it's not like finances, but that we give. We give each other. We give into each other. And that also includes being able to give into each other's families, being able to give into each other's, you know, well, with aspect of kids from outside, just giving into each other's lives, not just you, but your family. You give into me and my family.
That's right.
Marriage isn't something you enter into to get complete.
No.
If you think, well, I'm broken, I need to get married.
Mm.
No, you need to get whole first. Because if you have two broken cookies in a bag, you still have two broken cookies. You need two whole cookies. You need two whole people to have a strong marriage.
That's right.
Not perfect, but whole.
Mm-hmm.
Don't look
strong.
To you. I can't look to you to fix me.
That's right.
Right?
Yes.
And I can't fix you. You know, I can help.
You wouldn't
Lord,
like the way
no.
I would do it.
No. We have to, it's a covenant relationship. We have to learn how to compliment each other.
Yep.
We have to maintain a sense of compassion for one another.
Mm-hmm.
Not just overlooking the field, but we have to cultivate the soil. The word says that you find a treasure, you dig, you cultivate the soil. success in marriage is dependent on how willing you are to meet each other's needs, I think.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's all aspects.
Yeah.
Also, so I was, can you go back to Mark again?
Read it again?
Yes.
So Mark 4, 35 to 39. On the same day, when evening had come, he had said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also there with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But when he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But when he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?"
So, you know, if you're going through a storm, not just as a couple, but even a single, remember, you will get through. You will
That's
make
right.
it. I love the fact that it says that there were little boats with him.
Mm-hmm.
And as the marriage focus, when you go through the storm, you're going to take the little boats with you. Your kids are going to go through with you. You're going to get through. You're going to make it. And, you know, it says when the evening had come. So when you think that it doesn't seem bright out, it seems like the darkest night's coming, that it's starting to get dark. Then remember, the light is within you. And you got to realize that you are going to through. You're going to go through it. And the fact that we have faith, you know, it says in Hebrews 11:6 that we must believe that he is, and he is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him.
Yeah.
So you got to realize that he is, first of all, that he is, and that he is a rewarder of whatever you need. You got to have that must-have faith that he is there, and that, you know, it's like when if you can't complain about your spouse, you pick them. Right? I can't complain about you. I picked you, kind of thing, you know? So we got to realize that he will bring us through. He will bring you through. And that we can understand that it's a growing process.
Yep.
Just stand strong in the word. Learn how to communicate with each other. Learn how to lift each other up. How to build each other up. How to come into agreement, even when you're disagreeing, realizing that we don't always see eye to eye on everything.
No.
But we
okay.
realize that we have to compromise and we have to give up ourselves for each other.
Mm-hmm.
And so that we'll go through.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a prayer. We're going to pray for married couples that are going through a storm.
And then we'll do a call.
Yeah. So this time, if you're going through a problem, you're going through a situation, you realize that as a couple that you're not sure, remember, you are going to make it.
Yes.
Get into the Word. Find out if you're serving God and your spouse isn't, that's okay. Because Paul said that a believing spouse will sanctify the other spouse.
Yeah.
Just continue to believe. But Father, we thank you, Lord, that we can come into agreement, Father,
yes.
Lord, that there's couples out there that might be going through a storm and realizing, Father, that they will go through, that they can stand on your word. They can learn how to communicate with each other, learn how to communicate with you. They got to realize that they've come into a commitment, a covenant with you, and that you will help them get through, that there is a threefold cord. That you got to realize that third cord is you, Father, Lord, and that they stand strong with you, and that as storms come, marriages will survive. We just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
And let the peace of God that passes understanding, yes, Lord, be upon them. Father, that the Holy Spirit that dwells within them be stirred up, Lord, and that they are reminded, Lord, that when we honor you, Lord, that all is well.
Yes. Yes. And if you, if you're going through issues in life and you realize and you've watched this a couple of times, you know, if you make him Lord of your life,
amen,
he will change you.
Amen.
We are changed. So there's a Savior that has come, and he will give you new life.
Amen.
He will lift you up, and he will place you in a prominent place at his right hand.
Yes.
And that, you know, you don't have to feel like you're beat down or whatever, but he will lift you up and restore you.
Yes.
And so if you want to make him Lord, just let us know. Because come into the family of God. If you're in this city, come to this church. If not, find a church. We're just going to pray for those now. Father, we thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Just say this after me. Say, Jesus,
I know
that you are the Lord.
You are the Lord.
And I want to make you my Savior.
I repent of my
wrongful thinking. But I know that you went to the cross. And died for me. I know that you paid the price. And that I can come openly to the Father. And I just accept you now. In Jesus' name. Amen.